Heard the call to build your small business? Make it happen with a .net domain name, the place for dreamers for 30 years and counting. Visit keepdreamingup.net for tips and advice, whether you're just getting started or looking to grow. That's keepdreamingup.net.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, also writer over at bourbonstreetshots.com, where you can get the best Pelicans analysis, other than here on the podcast, of course. It is a game day Wednesday here in the Crescent City as the Pelicans take on the Utah Jazz tonight in the Smoothie King Center, and what should be a tough matchup for the Pelicans. I'm going to have that preview for you guys at the end of the podcast here. In the beginning, I really want to talk more about some of the trade rumors that came out about 2 days ago. Mentioned another player I didn't bring up in yesterday's podcast, talk about him, whether he'd be a good fit. Dive a little bit deeper into Jahlil Okafor and what he could bring to the table for the Pelicans. Basically still suffering from some food poisoning, so I'm going to talk as long as I can before passing out and wrapping up the podcast today. So yesterday I talked a little bit about Brook Lopez, about Nikola Vucevic, about Jahlil Okafor, who we're going to talk about again in a moment here. But one name I did forget out that kind of is against the trend of the big men, the centers that the Pels were reportedly linked to 2 days ago, and that is Reggie Jackson out of Detroit, their point guard. And, you know, it remains to be seen how long ago the Pels were linked to him. It sounds like they've shifted approach, that they're no longer interested in Reggie Jackson and that they're focusing on someone like Okafor or an offensive-minded center. Jackson, though, does make some sense for this Pelicans team. He's certainly more of an aggressive offensive player than Jrue Holiday would be. Worse defensively, not as great of a facilitator. But he attacks the rim. I think if you kind of mixed maybe Tyreke Evans and Jrue Holiday a little bit, and they had some sort of baby and it came out, it might look a little bit like Reggie Jackson and how he plays. The aggressiveness is needed. You've seen how much better Jrue Holiday has played when he plays aggressive, when he's trying to get to the rim early, when he's trying to get his three-point shot going. If he plays a more passive role and tries to get his teammates into the game early on, you kind of see him slip away a little bit. He kind of acts a bit like a ghost. So Reggie Jackson's a guy that would make sense. It didn't, you know, none of the rumors coming out about it had what the Pelicans were offering for him. You figure maybe it would be something to match his salary along with a protected first round pick, which would seemingly make a bit of sense. And, you know, it's a guy that could work here. I don't figure they would trade Jrue Holiday straight up for him, given expiring for Reggie Jackson, who's on, I think, a three-year deal after this season. Makes less sense why Detroit would want to do that when they feel they are probably kind of close to contention for the playoffs, even though they're having a disappointing season this year. So that one doesn't make as much sense to me as the big men do. I think you've seen it that the Pelicans, frankly, just want to go big, and they don't want Davis playing the five full time. They want him playing power forward where he's more comfortable, where he likes playing. And I think it's just going to be better overall. Like I said the other day, you know, small ball might be the way this team should play. It might be how they score the most points, have the best defense they could do. And it's just, you know, basically the most efficient use of the players, maximizing the talent on the roster. But that doesn't do you any good if Anthony Davis can't stay healthy and if he isn't on the court with the team. Even though Terrence Jones has done a nice job of filling in as the starting center in a small ball lineup, as you saw in that game against the Cavaliers. But that does you no good if Davis, your best player, isn't out on the court. And I think that's the main reason why they've shifted gears, looking for an offensive-minded center. It did come out that they had been in talks with Philly about Nerlens Noel, more of a defensive guy. His offense is very, very not good. Very, very bad. That's terrible English on my part. But so you've got, you know, it seems like they know what they want, which is at least a good thing. They're not kind of just throwing mud at the wall and seeing what sticks. They have a plan of attack here. which, like I've said, is good for the Pelicans. They need to figure out who they are, who they want to be, and build off of that. Now it seems like that's what they're trying to do. Don't forget, Locked On Pelicans is available on iTunes, is available on Audioboom, wherever podcasts are found. So please subscribe to it there. Subscribing to it, getting sponsors for the show, the live reads you hear on it are basically what keeps this free for everyone. So it's only a good thing. So if you get a chance, rate it 5 stars. Follow it on Twitter at Locked On Pels. There's a Facebook page as well. It's Locked On Pelicans. It's everywhere. Shouldn't be too hard to find. So anything you can do is only a good thing for this podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans. So let's switch gears back to Jahlil Okafor and the impact he might have on the Pelicans, where we can kind of see him fitting in. And there's a few things. So the main, like I said, I'm not particularly high on him. His offensive and defensive numbers, when you start to dive into his advanced stats, really don't look good. And the people that are big fans of his, and there are some, like to point to his rookie year where he scored 17.5 points per game. And they really just hang their hat on that. That's it. Doesn't matter what his offensive rating that season was, or his defensive rating. Don't forget, you got to play both sides of the ball. But they like to point out that he scored 17.5 points per game, averaged how many rebounds? 7 rebounds, and that's in 30 minutes, which 7 rebounds for your starting center in 30 minutes, not good. But 17.5 points per game is. He did that, however, on 14.7 shot attempts per game. So he attempted 14.7 field goals, scored 17.5 points, did it on 50.8 shooting. 50.8% shooting. You'd like that shooting percentage to be higher. For a guy who doesn't space the court, isn't taking a lot of shots away from the rim, he doesn't shoot particularly well. That's the highest percentage shot in the game where he's shooting most of his shots from, and he's not getting above 50%. Nerlens Noel, who's offensively challenged, as I just said in the last segment, is shooting 52.1% from there. So I think it's not as great as it sounds. For last season, I'm going to go by the basketballreference.com numbers, which are a little bit different than the NBA.com/stats numbers I have, since I have these up here. For, his rookie year, where he did average 17.5 points per game, his offensive rating was 99. It's bad. It's not good at all. For the season this year, the Pelicans are at 103.9, according to basketballreference.com. And they're 27th out of 30th in when it comes to teams in the league here. So it shows you that even though he put up 17.5 points per game, these aren't exactly efficient 17.5 points. It's also on 14.7 shots, which, keep that number in mind for a moment with me here. And I'm going to kind of round back to it in a moment. So this year, his numbers are down overall. He is averaging, let me pull him up here, per game. Okafor is averaging 11.5 points per game. And he is grabbing a total of 4.8 rebounds. But his minutes are down. He's playing about 7 minutes less. He's averaging 23 minutes per game. So he's scoring his 11.5 points on 9.4 shot attempts per game and shooting 51.7% from the field. Still not a great number there. Less than what, Nerlens Noel was shooting last year. Nerlens, who, hasn't played really much this season at all, unfortunately, just due to injuries to start the year, is shooting close to 60%, 59.1% from the field. His offensive rating this year for Okafor is just 102. So he's scoring less, but he's actually being a little bit more efficient, but still below the Pelicans' average this season. So not good. And this is saying nothing about his defense, which is, like I said, just bad, I think is the best way to put it. So there's such a range of numbers here on in between his years. So he goes from 14.7 shot attempts to 9.4 shot attempts. Well, if you look at the Pelicans this year, and you sort it by shot attempts per game, let's try and see where he might slot in. I mean, obviously, Anthony Davis is going to be number one. He's taken 20.3 attempts per game. Drew Holiday is 2 at 13.6. You have to figure Okafor's not going to get more shots than Holiday. And then it kind of drops significantly to 3, which is Terrence Jones at 9.4. This year, Okafor is 6th on Philly's team in shot attempts per game, ranking behind, let me pull him up here, Joel Embiid, Ilyasova, Jared Bayless, Robert Covington, Dario Saric, and then finally at 9.4, you get to Jahlil Okafor. Well, here he'd rank, he'd be tied for 3rd on the Pelicans, up from 6th on Philly. I don't know if he's going to get that, you know, if he's going to fit in as 3rd or 4th, but he should be right around there. But he's probably not really going to get significantly more shots than what he's getting this year, and certainly not getting close to the 14 or so, 15, that he was taking his rookie year. So you're looking at him maybe getting 11 shot attempts per game. And I mean, based off of that and what he's done, he's about going to give you 13 points a game or so, somewhere right in that range. You know, is giving up a future first round pick for 13 points per game, you know, worth it? If it's top 7, 8, 9, 10 protected in 2018's draft, yeah, probably. But it's something to consider. I know people, like I said, some people are very high on him. But it's not like he's going to come in and play like he did his rookie year. He's not going to have that many shot attempts. And he was basically tied for first, more or less. He was off by 0.1 per game for Philly last season. It's not going to be the case here. So you got to wonder what his offensive production is going to be in New Orleans. But hey, those are just trade rumors, and nothing might happen from it, so let's focus on something that is a little more concrete, and that is, it is game day tonight. The Pelicans take on the Utah Jazz, the 33-19 Utah Jazz, 4th in the Western Conference. Obviously a very good team, have some very talented players there. One of the better defenses in the league, about middle of the road offensively, about top half though, for sure, trending towards that. Big thing, they do play with usually the slowest pace in the league, so you've got a bit of a battle of contrasting styles here. So, you know, Pelicans want to play fast, want to play with a lot of pace, get a lot of possessions. Jazz don't. They'd rather grind it out, win with defense, and if the Pelicans don't try and play their style of game, they're going to struggle. The Jazz are anchored down low with Rudy Gobert, Derek Favors grabbing rebounds, blocking shots, doing all of that with those two guys. And they've done well. And the other thing is, the Pelicans are going to need some easy offense. We've seen them struggle in the half court. In the half court, they forget ball movement. They kind of get stagnant, focus on isolation. Jazz want the Pelicans to do that entirely this game. Pels need to get out and try and score in transition. We've seen it since they've switched to the small ball lineup back on December 26, that they're much higher up when it comes to transition points per game. I haven't done the numbers from when I wrote the article last week to today, but they've been up there. They're in the top 10 when it comes to that. Transition points are easy points a lot of the time, and the Pels need to get out and run. You'd like to see them start the small lineup again of Drew Holiday, Buddy Hield, Solomon Hill, Dante Cunningham, Anthony Davis. I don't think they're going to, and that's for two reasons. One, just being linked to a center, you have to figure they've kind of maybe given up on this as the starting lineup, as the way they're going to run the lineup the majority of the time in a game. And Terrence Jones started against the Suns. Utah has length, so you have to figure they might want to go a little bit taller again. Think about what happened with the Oklahoma City Thunder about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, where, you know, they had been playing the small lineup. They decided to trot out Terrence Jones to try and match up with the height of the Thunder, who's one of the taller teams in the league. Could be the same case here, though I guess we'll find out in a couple of hours. And the other thing is that Tyreke Evans is actually going to be most likely out for this game. He is a bit injured himself in the Suns game, so he's listed as doubtful. I don't think they've made an official ruling on it yet, but it sounds like he's going to be out. You'd rather have Cunningham come off the bench rather than Jones, I think, in that case, just to give you a little bit more athleticism there, where and try and make up for it, and a little bit more shooting with Evans not coming off the bench, able to kind of lead that second unit. So you should see more minutes from Tim Frazier tonight. You saw he got some run in against the Phoenix Suns. Overall, though, this is going to be a tough game for the Pelicans. Utah is a very good team, very sound defensively. They're going to need to play their style of ball. If they get stuck into a grinded out, slow-paced game, I'm not sure the Pelicans have much of a chance. So that's going to be it for today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. Thank you all for listening. Hopefully the Pelicans can get a win tonight against the Utah Jazz, though, like I said, going to be a little bit tough. Never know what other trade rumors are going to come out. You know, what's going on with this team. Obviously, they're looking to try and make moves. You know, only 3.5 games back from a playoff spot as of this morning. So we'll see if they can make up some ground tonight. If not, you know, if they do, if they don't, if more trade rumors break, I'll be back with you guys tomorrow to break it all down.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.